We'll be spending the coming hour talking about Wisconsin people, Wisconsin history, nature, travel, and culture. And who better to do that than Harriet Brown? Harriet, editor of Wisconsin Trails magazine. She's an award-winning poet and writer as well. The January-February issue is the second annual conservation issue. It's called It's Easy Being Green. Really pleased to have her with us today. And certainly if you have some comments or questions about what's going on around the state in terms of events or questions about what's going on in terms of the magazine, we hope you will join in. And here's the number, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. If you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Harriet Brown, welcome back. Nice to have you with us again.
Thanks for having me, as always, Larry.
Let's talk about the issue. This is the second annual conservation issue. What was the genesis of this?
Well, it kind of started in a little back corner of my brain, basically. Some good things start there and some bad things start there. We like to do theme issues from time to time, and we definitely cover environmentalism and nature in every issue of the magazine,
sure.
But I thought, what if we had a whole issue devoted to it? So we did an issue last year, and the response to it was really very strong.
Very strong.
We decided to make it an annual event, and I'm really glad we did.
Yeah, you've got some great stories. Well, maybe you can give us a little snapshot of what you've got in the magazine this time around.
Well, we've got every issue we have our photo portfolio, where we always try to have beautiful photographs. And this time we tried to make them photographs of places that are protected in some way, county parks, state parks, nature conservancy properties, basically the kinds of places that are, you know, the reason why we do conservation, mm-hmm. because these are the places that are special to us and we would like to keep them. Our leadoff feature I'm really, really happy with. I had approached Eric Ness, who's a wonderful science writer and writes for us often, and said, you know, what do you think about doing a sort of science-y piece about what life might be like 100 years from now if we don't stop climate change or slow it down dramatically? And I had in mind a kind of journalism piece.
Mm-hmm.
And he took that idea and ran with it, and he came back with a piece of fiction.
Far different, but
very different.
Really an effective piece.
It is, and it's kind of like science fiction, but you know, there's no aliens or anything, so don't let that put you off if you're not a sci-fi fan. It's really, you know, what I was looking for was a piece that would help people understand in a very visceral way. You know, if this was you, if this was your children and your grandchildren, what are we talking about? What are the stakes? What could life be like here 100 years from now? And I think he did a great job with it.
Super job. So Eric's in there, and then you've got a nice little piece on the first green tourist in Wisconsin.
That's
which is really cool.
That is a fun piece. Erica Janik of the Wisconsin Historical Society wrote it for us about a mysterious traveler. No one knows his real name. We think it's a man. He kept a diary of this trip he made walking across the state in the early mid-19th century, and he signed himself Alpha C. Who knows? If anyone knows who Alpha C is, please give us a call and let us know.
I'd like to know that as well.
Yes.
He just took off from Milwaukee one day with a partner and...
Yeah, I think it was part of a bigger trip, you know, but they walked across the whole state, and it took, you know, quite a while.
30 days, if I recall.
That's right. And then they had plans to go on westward, but there are ways part. We don't know where they went from there.
We lost them. We lost them there. And, of course, we've got the events. All of the events for January is now, you know, half over. But then February, all the February events in there, too.
That's right. And we also have a piece that we did last year. And wanted to do it again this year called People Who Make a Difference. And where we highlighted some of the people and organizations around the state who are doing innovative, creative things to make a difference about conservation.
One of the articles in that struck me was the Le Coup d'Etat and the Trust for Public Land. Talk a little about that.
Well, they got together. Neither one of them, I think, could have done it alone. But the Le Coup d'Etat kind of put out a call for help. Part some land near them, I think, was going to be developed as a private, like, float plane club, mm-hmm. or something.
An island, if I'm not mistaken.
That's
yeah.
right. Moonshine Island, I think. And, you know, they weren't happy about that, and the Trust for Public Land was able to partner with them and buy and sort of turn over to the Lac-Couturier the island, and then also another piece of land too. So it was a very, it was a great thing because it sort of partnered two organizations and pieces of land that are very meaningful to the Lac-Couturier.
How did you go about deciding who to put in that that story?
Well, you know, we kind of have our antennae up all year looking for people and organizations who are doing things. Because we did it last year, a lot of people send us stuff, and I encourage people to send us more. We want to know what's going on around the state. And then we kind of looked at those, and we applied some criteria, you know, what were the most creative, what were the most effective partnerships, and then what were some things that ordinary people could kind of get behind. So like the Lac-Couturier Trust for Public Land project is sort of on the organizational level.
Mm-hmm.
But then over in Eau Claire, some faculty and students at UW-Eau Claire got together and said, you know, we really would like to encourage people to bike or walk to work. So they, on a very individual level, they started this project, the Clean Commute Initiative, and they've got about 200 people signed up, you know, sort of pledging to bike or walk or carpool to work. And it's, you know, again, it's something you could do as individuals, but it makes a real difference.
Yeah, and it's a great story. I like that. And was it the Racine Dominican?
Mm-hmm.
Racine Dominican, your feature highlighted them as well.
Yes, that's such an interesting thing. I had no idea that the Dominicans had such a commitment to sort of environmentalism. And so they have a small group of nuns in Racine, and they've sort of established this farm, really,
mm-hmm.
Where they live in a way that's sort of in tune with nature. But it's not just a couple of people doing that. They sort of make it a center where students can come, you know, from elementary schools to college. They run workshops in the community. They, you know, people can just stop by mm-hmm. and take a look at, you know, their sustainably built buildings and sort of find out more about how they can do that. So they're really they're doing a wonderful thing.
It is. It's great to read about it and to read about all of these. And as you say, you've got sort of individuals and you've got medium-sized and large organizations all kind of working together
mm-hmm.
to do something for the environment. Harriet Brown, our guest today, editor of Wisconsin Trails magazine. We're visiting with her about the magazine, talking. We haven't gotten into events yet, but we'll talk certainly about some events. There's a lot of good ones coming up here, and you may have one that you want to talk about, too. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Lots of events, lots of things coming up. Is there anything that strikes your fancy in particular?
Yeah, I'm just paging through to find it. This sounded like fun to me. I wish I could attend it. It's a wolf ecology workshop that's being held February 1st through 3rd, or February 29th through March 2nd. And it's basically, it's being held up at Tree Haven. Mm-hmm. Do you know where that
yes,
is?
Yes, been there.
It's in Tomahawk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a three-day kind of thing that you workshop that you go to, and you learn lots of things about wolves. But the really cool place is then you can then go on and take extra training with the DNR, and you can become a volunteer carnivore tracker. That's what I want to do.
Oh.
You know, because, of course, the DNR relies on volunteers to track all kinds of critters, from wolves to birds, and you know, and so I think that's really neat, especially as wolves are going to play more of a role in the life of the state going forward.
Yep, it'll be a lot of fun. Lisa in Eau Claire, we'll give you a chance now. Lisa, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I'm part of the Clean Commute at UW-Eau Claire.
Oh, cool.
Great.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to mention that while you said bikes and walking, and one of the most important things for people to consider is public transportation that we pay. Our tax dollars go to lots mm-hmm. of, you know, buses. We have a good bus system here in Eau Claire,
mm-hmm.
Eau Claire Transit, and they're heated. This time of year, you know, you get exercise getting there and getting home, and you can sit back and relax on the bus, and it's an important part of clean commute in all cities.
Now, we have about 200 people that signed up, Lisa?
Yeah.
That's a great start, and it probably you're hoping for even more.
Yes, absolutely. I think there's a lot more people than those 200. We have 700 faculty, and you know, 10,500 students, so we can definitely... I think there's a lot more people that didn't sign up that do clean commute and just didn't put their name on, but it's a really important thing to think about in this day and age.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the public transportation thing, because I walk or bike to work most of the time. When it's very cold, I sometimes hop a bus, and I'm often the only person on the bus.
Right.
And
that's
that just blows my mind.
That's the problem, is we're paying for that service, and people aren't taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lisa.
Sure.
Yeah, appreciate the call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. We'd appreciate hearing from you. We heard from Naomi Shapiro, who says there's lots going on in the Eagle River area. As well, one of the things that she noted is a pond hockey tournament, which attracts 800 teams from all over the country.
Wow.
Including some women's teams. They play on 18 hockey rinks carved into the frozen Dollar Lake near the Chanticleer Resort.
Is this an annual thing?
Yeah, it's an annual thing. Bill Ford, Ford Motor, comes and has played in the previous championships incognito among the many other movers and shakers, and just played Joes and Janes, who love to play the game. So that sounds like it'd be a lot of fun. Pond hockey.
And when is that?
We'll find. Maybe somebody. Oh, do I have that? I think it's the 15th through the 17th of February.
Okay.
Jim Packard says, yep, that's right. And then there's Trigg's annual Klondike's Days, which is in its 18th year. It's the most multifaceted family winter festival. Do you know about that one?
Yeah, we've covered it in the past for sure.
There are Voyager encampment, there's lumberjack events, competitions, sleigh rides, snowshoe race, Native American presentations. There's some bluegrass music and some northern foods and kids' activities. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, and that's February 16th through 17th.
16th through the 17th. Mm-hmm. Okay, so those are a couple of the events that are going on in the Eagle River. I think there's also, it's the... 18th annual on the Hockey Pond Hockey Championships,
woo,
something like that. So,
wow,
pond hockey.
What is pond hockey anyway?
Well, it's
hockey on a pond.
Hockey on a pond. They go out on the lake, and they've got the Dollar Lake, which is near the Chanticleer Resort there, and they just go out there probably with plows and plow off blocks or areas, rinks, and, you know, mound up the sides a little bit, and then just have one right after the other. So all across the lake, and so they can have, you've got 800 teams. That's
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. So that might be a good one for you to cover sometime.
Yeah, sounds like it.
It sounds like it'd be fun. Chris in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Larry.
Morning.
Thanks for the great program.
Thank you for calling.
Wisconsin Trails Magazine is an awesome publication.
Thank you for saying that.
There is a great event that is going on in Winona, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So right on the border of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of listeners over there. It's called the Frozen River Film Festival, and that's going on this weekend at Winona State University. It actually starts on Thursday, and they'll have events and movies on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well.
Frozen?
They've got some.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Frozen River Film Festival. They have some great environmental movies, some outdoor, adrenaline-type sports. So there's things for people of all ages.
That's very cool. Do they have a website by any chance?
They do. You can visit the website frozenriver.org, mm-hmm, and get all the details. Bill Miller, Grammy Award winner, will be playing music on Friday evening, and that's always an awesome event.
Oh, Chris, thank you. FrozenRiver.org, and it's this week, starting Thursday of this week.
Yes, it is. And I think that people who are Wisconsin Trail magazine readers might be interested in attending. I'm just driving back to La Crosse with my 13-year-old son from having gone to the Packer game last evening in my compressed natural gas vehicle. I'm hoping to make it through the year driving without gasoline.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Chris.
Have a great show, Larry.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate that very much. Well, there's another green traveler.
There you go. Going across natural gas.
Going across Wisconsin. Harriet Brown, our guest, editor of Wisconsin Trails magazine. We're talking with her about the magazine and about things to do around Wisconsin. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or in Madison, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking all things Wisconsin today with Harriet Brown, editor of Wisconsin Trails magazine. Give us a call if you'd like to join in at 1-800-642-1234. 1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And let's go to Jill in Manitowish Waters next. Jill, hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks. Love the show. I wanted to say I live in a rural area, and I wonder why we can't get state funds and a program for rural areas with maybe vans or something that would a couple of times a day make a run to, you know, like neighboring towns 15, 20 miles away, because that gas cost for, you know, lower-income people, and a lot of times you have to drive for a job, in the hinterlands. So I want to know what you guys think about that. Thanks a lot.
Bye. All right. Thanks, Jill.
I think that's a great idea. And, you know, one of the things that we're seeing more and more around the state is small grassroots kind of efforts that start, you know, with ideas exactly like this. The state's probably not going to come to you and say, hey, what if we give you a van? But what if you go to them? I know there's a state van pool that operates in Madison. I don't know if they have, if they operate elsewhere, but why don't you get together with some folks in the community and propose it? Because I think that's exactly the kind of thing that if the state doesn't have the money to fund, you can often find grantors who will fund that kind of thing, private grantors, because so many organizations are funding environmental efforts right now.
And there are private people who have gotten involved in some ways. Now, this may not directly apply to what Jill's talking about, but there's an organization called Community Car here in Madison, which allows you to, I don't know, you pay a monthly fee, I think, or something like that, and then you have access to a vehicle to get you around, and it's hybrid vehicles.
That's right. And there's, you know, I think there's, I don't know how many of them there are around the city now, but they're sort of, they're left in places that people can get to them easily that are accessible.
Yeah, and that probably wouldn't work as well in the Manitowish Waters area or some of the hinterland areas, but you know what? There's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, I really encourage people to kind of get, you know, come up with creative ideas. One of the pieces that we've got in the issue this time is about a woman named Kitty Welch, who actually owns the Cafe Carpe in Fort Atkinson. And she really came up with this amazing community-wide idea. It's called FortAtkinsonDiet.com, and it's she's putting the whole town on an energy diet. They created this website and lots of sort of resources and corollary materials to help everyone in town kind of reduce their carbon footprint. It's fun. It has a sense of humor. It's really cool, and I think it's been very effective. So I love to see things like that happening.
And Kitty Welch is it is Cafe Carp.
Cafe Carp.
She's an extraordinary person, and that's a very cool thing that she's got going in Fort Atkinson. There's something else that I think. Take a look at the magazine. You get some ideas about what you might do in your own community.
Exactly. That's what we're hoping. We're hoping it'll inspire people.
Well, let's talk about some more events. What else is going on around the state?
Oh, what else is going on around the state? I've got to flip back to my events section of the magazine. There's lots and lots of stuff. Let's see. In Wausau, we've got the Badger State Winter Games coming up this weekend and the following weekend, which is pretty fun. Olympic-style competition for amateur athletes. All the winter sports, I think, are represented there. That's kind of cool. Let's see. What else have we got? There's a winter fest in Delavan this weekend. Who knew, huh?
Well, I tell you, it's surprising. As I was looking through the magazine myself, looking through the events, and I thought, man, winter in Wisconsin, you wouldn't think we'd have that many events, but holy cow.
There's a lot.
There's something going on.
People say if we don't have those events, we're going to end up like those Norwegian bachelor farmers talking to ourselves in our houses.
Oh, I tell you what, there are lots of things going on around the state. You can join in. Let us know what's going on at in your locality, too, as we talk here about events in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234. Email us, too, at talk@wpr.org. I want to go back to Eric Ness's story that we talked about a little bit earlier, and you said earlier that you had thought he might do, looking 100 years ahead, he might do a more of a statistical kind of thing, but he didn't do that at all and wrote something called The Last Wisconsin Walleye, and it really is a fascinating story. In the first line is Trout Lake, Wisconsin, December 2108.
Isn't that an odd thought?
It is an odd thought. but the things that he talks about, you hope they don't happen.
Some of them are going to happen. In his author's note afterwards, he says he took as his starting place, no one really knows what will happen, of course, so that's why we're in the realm of fiction here. But he took as his starting point three things that people pretty much have agreed will happen if we don't do something significant to slow down climate change. And that is temperatures will rise, environmental quality will fall, and competition for resources will become much more fierce. And he took those as the three starting, and I think, most people would agree that that is going to be the scenario. And he built a story around that, imagining. I love the details he used. He refers in the piece to the Hudson Seawall breach of 2040 something, so you can imagine a whole lot of things from that. How, of course, the low-lying areas could very well be flooded, and then what if they built a seawall to protect Manhattan and the Hudson River Valley, and what if it breached, and then Wisconsin and the northern part of the country would be flooded with immigrants. Where are all those people going to go?
Yeah.
And so, you just kind of keep spinning one thing after another, and it's really a scary story.
Did he have fun writing that?
He did, but I think he kind of scared himself. He certainly scared me. Yeah. And I guess I want readers to be a little scared, too, because this is what is at stake here.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a different kind of story than what you normally cover in trail.
I don't think we've ever run fiction before.
I think it's
a first.
I think it is. Paul in Fort Atkinson, hi.
Hey, good morning. How are you all?
Morning. Great.
Good.
Thanks for calling.
Good. I'm glad to be calling. This is a really important topic, and I think it's something that, we hear a lot about on the radio and on the news, and you hear about the damage being done, but very rarely are we afforded an opportunity to express answers or to express solutions to these problems. And I'm just calling to afford your viewers a quick take on something called The Natural Step for Communities by Sarah James and Bjorn Lotze. It's a series of case studies, basically, that identify communities at danger, both ecologically and financially, mostly in Sweden. But the takeaway is that that members of these communities took issues into their own hands to some level and started to fix problems and essentially addressed environmental issues and came out of them with winning scenarios that recycle 100% or 94.5% of all the materials consumed by a given municipality. And of that material, they're burning the waste and redistributing that heat through steam pipes back to the homes so that things turn into more closed loop type scenarios where mm-hmm. waste is actually a resource instead of something that winds up in a landfill, and that's really just one example. So Ford Healthcare in Fort Atkinson, along with Heart of the City and another group, Sustain Jefferson, are offering free courses in the Natural Step. And actually, if I can give a quick plug.
Sure.
They're going on the 22nd of January and the 24th, Tuesday and Thursday of this week, at varying times. But there's a couple of overview presentations. On the 22nd from about 4 o'clock to 6, and on Thursday the 24th from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., there'll be a couple of opportunities for people to get an overview of what the Natural Step is about and then to sign up for a free 10-week course.
Hmm.
That's a pilot program in the area, and hopefully other industries will begin to follow suit. And you can find also information on, you know, Focus on Energy
mm-hmm.
and the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, that operating in an ecologically safe and compliant manner is often financially viable, and much more so than doing things the same old way.
And another place to look to for a model, the folks up in Bayfield mm-hmm. and Washburn area are doing the Natural Step up there. We did a whole piece on this in last year's conservation issue, and I think they are really doing it. It's fascinating what they're doing up there, so that's another place to look. And I think that there's communities around the state who are sort of in the initial stages. Sounds like in the Fort you're a little bit farther along in following up on that stuff.
Yeah, we're fortunate to have some members of the community who've actually traveled to Sweden
mm-hmm.
and have met the authors and
mm-hmm.
have gone to the sites. And so we've got a lot of firsthand experience. And so we're trying to kind of pool those resources and keep that energy going.
So you don't have to be from Fort Atkinson to attend that those meetings?
You don't. They're actually open to the public and in conjunction with open to Fort Healthcare employees as well. So it's it's kind of a wide net opportunity, and courses basically last for about 10 weeks, and they'll meet once a week after reading a couple chapters. And what happens out of these is that people emerge with a skill set and a vocabulary that allows them to go to their county board, that allows them to go to their municipalities and say, hey, these are ideas that we can implement now,
mm-hmm.
and these are ways in which we can attack these problems. And they give specific examples so that you're armed instead of just feeling helpless with a means of you know, of actual environmental change at your means. So.
And you said the 22nd and 24th, 22nd from 4 to 6, and on the 24th from 9 to 10, there are some sort of initial public presentations. Where are those, and how do we, is there a website or something,
right,
Paul?
Well, right now, the website for Sustain Jefferson, which is sustainjefferson.org, is currently under construction. But Fort Memorial Hospital is in Fort Atkinson,
mm-hmm.
and the address is 611 Sherman Avenue East. And there's a contact there, Katie O'Brien.
Okay.
And she's the coordinator for this project. And maybe I can leave her phone number.
Sure.
Which is 920-568-5246. And Katie will be glad to register you directly for the course if it's the case that you cannot make the information session. But she'll also be able to provide you with more details about the project and indeed point you in the direction of one of these information sessions if you should so like to.
And let me say, so Katie's number is 920-568-5246?
5246, exactly.
Okay. All right. Paul,
well,
thank you.
You're welcome, and thanks again. I would only encourage you to return to this topic because as things change and, you know, we still have power plants that are being built that are burning mm-hmm. coal. You know, we definitely have a lot of need to continue to address this issue.
Thank you, Paul.
Anyway, take care, y'all. Bye-bye.
Yeah, appreciate the call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890, as we talk about the January-February issue of Wisconsin Trails magazine. It's the second annual conservation issue. It's called It's Easy, being green. And Harriet Brown will be with us right up until 12 today. And at noon, I should just mention, we'll be going to the state capitol for the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. celebration from the state capitol. So we'll have that at noon. So we'll only be on an hour today. So again, if you have a question, give us a call or send us an email at talk. I forgot it for a minute there. talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Well, it's good to hear that people like Paul, who are obviously very enthusiastic and committed to this kind of an effort.
Absolutely. And especially, you know, I like hearing things like that. Sometimes it's, you know, it can be very depressing. You drive around and you see all the big SUVs, you know, with one person in them, and you imagine how much gas they're burning, and you see how wasteful we all are, not to single any, you know, we all have ways in which we're we're wasteful. And you just think, well, one of the things that I thought was very effective in Eric's piece was it's set 100 years in the future, and there's a young woman, like a sort of grad student type, as one of the characters, and she's sort of talking about the history of the last 100 years, and she refers to the people of the 21st century as the thriftless. And, you know, there's a line something like, well, they just didn't know any better, you know, and it's a very condemning historical, you know, we don't want to go down in history as the thriftless who could have done something about this but landed our grandchildren in terrible peril because we did not.
And we love our state. I think most people love the state.
Absolutely.
You write about love a little bit in your in the column. Is I think your column in the beginning is What We Do for Love or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. What do we do? What are we willing to do for the places that we love? And the way of life that we love and the landscapes that we love. You know, what are we willing, you know, put your money where your mouth is. Not just your money. We're not just talking about money. It's, if it was that easy, I think, you know, we might be there already. It's more a question of will and being willing to change, and what are we willing to do?
You know, you wrote a poem that is included, that you have included in the this issue of Trails, which I'd love if you'd read that. It's called If You, and with a beautiful photo right next to it. Would you mind reading that?
Sure. Do you know a poet who would say no to that question?
I don't.
Probably not. If you love a place so deep it's in your blood, if your blood sings with it and the fire that is always in you lights itself there, if you love a place so deeply it's inside you, marrow and bone, cell and cell wall, if you love a place so well it's in the lovely lightness of your breath, then what will you do? Will you live rough in its ash and maple forests? Will you reach into your own pocket for the coin that will protect it? Will you walk the city streets, singing of its greatness, its commonplace beauty? Will you burn down the walls that keep it separate? Will you tell its story to anyone who asks and to everyone who doesn't? What, I ask you, what will you do to keep it safe?
Oh, it's lovely. Did you write this specifically for the magazine or for something else?
No, I wrote it about a place that's very special to me that our family lost last year through a long story that I won't tell, but just thinking about how special place can be and how most of us have places that are that special to us, and how would you save it if you could?
How would you save it if you could? Harriet Brown, our guest, editor of Wisconsin Trails magazine, as we talk with her about Wisconsin's people, its history, its nature, its travel, and its culture. And again, I'll invite you to join in at 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. You highlighted, we've talked about several of the people in the magazine who you highlighted, but there were some others that didn't have full stories about, but who are also making a difference as well. And I'm trying to recall now.
Like Kohl's Corporation.
Kohl's Corporation, yeah, Menominee Falls.
That's right. They put hundreds of solar panels on two of their stores in the Milwaukee area, and I think they are now the largest generator of solar power in the Midwest.
Oh, you're kidding. I didn't know that.
It's pretty impressive, actually.
And let's see, we've got Echo Valley Farm.
That's right. That's a great place. I've actually never been there, but I would like to go. I plan to go. It's something we're going to cover in a story at some point. And they do a lot to sort of facilitate sustainable living and farming and ideas. But particularly, we were singling them out here for their Echo Valley Hope, which is a charity that helps give food and clean water to people who are victims of disaster and disadvantage. And it's really a cool program. And they have a website that is echovalleyhope.com.
Echovalleyhope.com. And there, it's a rural retreat near Ontario, you
That's say? Right. Mm-hmm. They have all kinds of interesting looking workshops on, you know, sustainability, but also spiritual, sort of the spiritual approach to life, not religious, but spiritual, mm-hmm. and just looks like a cool place.
And you also recognize the U.S. Forest Service and the National Forest Foundation as well.
That's right. They created something last year called the Carbon Capital Fund, which is to help people offset carbon emissions through things that can be done in national forests. And you know, carbon offsetting is a very controversial sort of topic, so but we wanted people to know about it. And it's carboncapitalfund.org.
Carboncapitalfund.org. Harriet Brown, our guest today, as we talk with her about all things Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller, Jim Packard, our producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest today, Harriet Brown, who is editor of Wisconsin Trails magazine. And as you've just heard, she's an award-winning poet, an accomplished poet, and an award-winning one, as a matter of fact, as well, and writer. Really happy to have her with us today as we talk about things Wisconsin. We're going to be talking about some events, too, and you may have an event going on in your community. And if you have an event that you'd like to talk about, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And give us a call if you've got something going on that you'd like people to know about, or if you have a question. We've been talking a lot about being green. It's Easy Being Green is sort of the title of the second annual conservation issue that Trails Magazine and Harriet have put out. So having some fun talking about that as well. And maybe you've got something going on in that vein in your own community that you'd like to talk about too. So feel free to join in. Wanted to talk about some more events that are coming up, Harriet. And man, I'm looking at February here. There are a ton of things going on. How do you collect all these, by the way?
Well, we ask people to send us events, press releases, and what have you. And then we go out and kind of look for some. And, you know, mm-hmm. when you do this for a while, you kind of, a lot of these events are annual, mm-hmm. so you kind of know they're coming. And yes, I'm thrilled. It's one of the most popular parts of the magazine, actually.
How do people contact you, by the way?
They can contact us by email. They can send things to editor@wistrails.com, or they can send us by snail mail, press releases or information, whatever. You want me to?
Yeah, give that address, too.
It's Wisconsin Trails Magazine, 10 East Doty Street, it's D-O-T-Y, Suite 200, Madison, and the zip is 53703.
All right. Well, let's take a look at some of the events going on in February here, and just to get things rolling on the event side of things.
Well, one of my favorites is coming up in early February, actually. It's the Hot Air Affair in Hudson.
Oh,
have you ever been to that?
No, I've never been to that.
I think it's really a lot of fun. You know, I don't know how many hot air balloons sort of congregate over the frozen skies of Hudson. Because, you know, cold air has more lift, so it's mm-hmm. good for things that fly. There's a parade, there's snow volleyball, there's just all kinds of fun events going on.
I bet there are a lot of photographers of that, too, because
are...
That is a fun, fun thing. And I've never... Have you ever been in a hot air balloon?
No, I'm a little afraid of heights, actually. I'm probably not going in a hot air balloon.
That's one of the things that I would like to do at some point. Living on Lake Monona occasionally, and we'll have a hot air balloon come out over the lake, and sometimes pretty close to our home, and it always looks like so much fun.
Well, I think you should do it. It's not that hard to arrange.
But you're not going to do it, Harry.
No, probably not.
All right.
But you could do it and write about it.
Well, you know, that'd be kind of a fun thing to do, a fun thing to do as well. So when is that?
That's February 1st through 3rd.
All right. There's a I'll skip ahead a little bit for February 14th because it's Valentine's Day, if I'm not mistaken.
Indeed it is.
And in Appleton, there is a downtown death by chocolate.
Now, that's an event I'd like to attend.
Oh, yeah.
10 restaurants and coffee houses in downtown Appleton. Kind of, it sounds like one of those progressive dinners. You know, you just kind of move from one to the other, growing increasingly happy.
And eating a lot of chocolate. Todd in New London, we'll go to you now. Hi, Todd.
Good morning, Larry. First-time caller. Calling as a proud parent.
Ah, good for you.
My son, two summers ago, was living here in New London, started a one-man movement called Eco Running, and he was doing it on our roadways and parks, whereas as he goes out and does his fitness routine, whether it be jogging or running, he would take a bag with him and pick up trash along the way. Hmm. Sounds like a very simple thing, but you can imagine if everyone would do this, what a huge improvement it would make. He started a website called Eco Runner. There's also another website called Running for More. And got some notice in Fitness Magazine.
Hmm.
From there, an outfit in California called Keep California Beautiful contacted him. This last Friday, they flew him out to Carlsbad, California, where he was their guest in a 10,000-person marathon.
Oh,
wow.
Prior marathons, the paper cups, things that came along to aid the runners, would end up in the storm sewer,
mm-hmm.
and from there into the Pacific Ocean, and the Californians were not very happy about that. So they, along with Sam's idea, they developed this thing with an eco run. Their motto was, only your feet will hit the ground.
Oh.
And we're waiting to hear back from Sam right now. He flew back last night while I was watching the Packers get trounced. He was flying back from San Diego. So we'll see how it all went. But it's going to be it would have been the first marathon of its kind.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, you must be proud of him.
Yep. Yep, I am very much.
I can believe that, Todd. Wow.
So hopefully they had they supplied people with bags. They had more receptacles along the way. They encouraged people to bring their own water bottles and refill them rather
mm-hmm.
than throw one on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a great idea, and I think it could catch on.
I think you're right. That's something. I hope some other event organizers are listening in to this, because that's a great idea.
It really
is. I think California is a good start for it, and hopefully Wisconsin will come along the way. I think we do a pretty good job here in Wisconsin when it comes to litter. We have our roadside pickup programs and organizations that do that. I know when I travel in other parts of the country, especially the South, I see a lot more of those kinds of problems than I do up here. But I'm sure California is very conscious of it, and as we are here in Wisconsin.
Well, and you raise an interesting point, because, you know, you might think litter is just a cosmetic issue, but mm-hmm. the reason that it's a conservation issue is because, as you say, because that stuff ends up in the water mm-hmm. and in the land, you know,
yep.
ends up places
mm-hmm.
it shouldn't be.
Yeah. Thanks, Todd.
He's an elementary school teacher, and he's also got a little program called Running for Kids, where he's promoting this for children. So get a hold of him early and show them the impact that they can make, and I think it's a great place to start.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Appreciate that information. Sounds like Sam's doing a great job. Patrick in Wausau, we'll go to you next. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
Great, thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you.
What's on your mind?
Well, the Rotary Club of Wausau came up with a very creative use of a great asset that we have in our community. And we are going to have a running race on the Granite Peak Ski Area, which is the Rib Mountain State Park.
Mm-hmm.
And the race is going to be a fundraiser for our Rotary Club to help support the roughly half a dozen different youth activities that we sponsor on an annual basis.
Very cool.
And the race is going to be a relay race. So, Larry, if you and I were on a team, the idea would be to, we start at the base of the mountain, we run all the way up, and then we cut over to the, well, we make a right-hand turn, and then we zigzag our way down, and one of those loops is approximately 2.2 miles.
Okay.
And the idea for our team would be, how many of those loops can we complete in 4 hours?
Oh.
And there's going to be teams of one runner, or two, or three, or four. And I have since learned while organizing this thing that there's a whole community of crazy people that are going to come to Wausau. It's the first weekend in October of 2008.
Oh, man. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. So I'm sure we're going to be hearing some more about that as the year goes along.
Well, you probably will. The registration forms will be done soon. Can I send you one or get your name added?
Send me one to the radio station. Let's
sure.
see what we can do.
I will do that.
All right.
All right.
Thanks,
all right.
Pat. Yeah, appreciate the call. Well, he's getting me running up up and down. I could take the downward half of that leg.
I don't think it works that way.
I'll just do the downward leg. Kay and McGuanigo, it's your turn. Hi, Kay.
Hi. I wanted to tell you about a Girl Scout function that's going on in Milwaukee a week from this Saturday.
Uh-huh, week from Saturday.
February 2nd.
Okay.
From 10 to 5. It's going to be at the Aurora Conference Center, and it's called Go Green, Mind, Body, and Soul. And the summit comes up once a year. And it's for girls from 7th grade up to 12th grade. And the girls actually plan the whole summit. And there's workshops all day. It's really a lot of fun. Some of the things are how green can you get, cooking magic where you cook green. Then they have some other ones on cookboxing and being green in the way you dress. And they're collecting Nike shoes to reuse shoes. And you can find out all about it by calling the Girl Scout number in Milwaukee, which is 414-476-1050. And if you're not a registered Girl Scout, you can just register. They say the deadline is the 25th, which is this Friday. But I have been involved in these for a number of years, and they're just wonderful for young girls. Any of the kids that I have taken have just had a wonderful day.
Kay, what's the number again? I didn't get it all down.
414-476-1050.
Well, that certainly goes right along with Harriet's magazine for
yes,
this month.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And her poetry. I'm going to go out and get the magazine. That was just a beautiful poem.
Oh.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks very much, Kay.
Yeah, so very wonderful program.
February 2nd.
February 2nd, a week from this Saturday.
All right.
At the Aurora Conference Center, which is just north of St. Luke's Hospital on 29th in Oklahoma in Milwaukee.
Well, it sounds like a great event. And again, thank you very much for telling us about it.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Yeah, appreciate it very much. Well, Donna is in Milwaukee, Bonnie. Bonnie, let's go to you. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like to talk about two events. I'm not feeling very organized here as I'm riding in the car, but my husband and our family of 8 sled dogs is taking part in an event on February 16th at Havenwoods State Park in Milwaukee. And it's called Winter Pastime, the event is. And there are many, many different activities for families and young people, one of which I remember is horse and wagon rides. Our dogs will be having free sled dog rides for young people 14 and under. And there's candle making and refreshments. It runs from 10 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm not exactly sure where Havenwood is other than it's off of Silver Spring. And it's my understanding that it is the only state park located in the city of Milwaukee. So it should be a really wonderful event, particularly for the kids from the city. That's the first event. The second
now, what was the date for that again?
February 16th.
Okay.
And that's from 10 o'clock until 3 o'clock. And there's horse and wagon rides and sled dog rides and, huge list of different activities for families to participate. And the theme is winter past and present.
And the other one was?
On February 2nd in Christmas Mountain, Wisconsin, I think they have a large festival going, and we're going to be participating in the sled dog race. And it's my understanding that the ski hills are shut down for that day and the dogs are racing up and down, and that's open to the public and people who are interested in seeing more of, you know, the animals and the mushers and that might like to attend something like that.
Bonnie, it sounds like great fun. Thank you so much for telling us about it.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. And, Harriet, if people, again, we should go back to, for one thing, you'll be doing another green issue next
That's
year,
right. Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll be doing some work right now to to get the next year's issue
out. Absolutely. We're always looking for, we'd love people to write us and tell us what they're doing or what efforts they know, and they can send things by email to editor@wistrails.com. That's WISTRAILS.com. Or they can mail us things mm-hmm. by snail mail,
mm-hmm.
Wisconsin Trails Magazine, 10 East Doty Street, number 200, Madison, 53703.
Always a pleasure, Harriet. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Larry.
Harriet Brown, editor of Wisconsin Trails Magazine, our guest here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.